Hello. Welcome to the South Mims U podcast. Our university, like its peers such as MIT and Imperial College London, has a global reputation for being at the cutting edge of scientific research. At a time when everyone is enthusing about AI or cybernetics, we believe that mechanical engineering is an overlooked discipline. And as the car industry tackles its responsibilities in the fight against global warming, there's still a lot of progress that can be made mechanically. I'm standing in the middle of the famous South Mims Ring, an old racing car circuit built in the 1950s to rival more famous places like Brooklands and Brands Hatch. It's one of our university's best kept secrets. Now that its role as a racing circuit has waned, it has been dedicated to academic research. It's a shame, really. The slightly banked track and quaint white-painted buildings by its side evoke a more elegant motoring era, when giants of the sport, Stirling Moss, Graham Hill, and one-time land speed record holder Sir Henry Seagrave were household names. I'm going to meet the head of our Department of Engineering inside one of the workshops. It's a hive of automotive activity, and I can see Professor Rafe Seasmith. He seems to be testing an engine.
Oh, hello, hello. You must be the South Mims U podcast chappie.
Yes, but I must first ask you, Professor Seasmith.
Oh, call me Rafe. Call me Rafe. Thank you. Please.
Rafe, looking around me, I can't help but notice that you all wear moustaches. Some quite big ones.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. It started as a charity thing last Christmas. But we all liked them so much that we kept them. Come along to the club and we'll have a jolly good chat, OK? Follow me.
Rafe is leading me down a corridor and we are entering what is known as the club room. Now, in other departments, it would be the refectory, but again, it is decorated in a classic style with leather chairs and pictures of old racing cars on the walls, pictures of past racing heroes. I see Jack Brabham, Graham Hill, and James Hunt, among many. There's a very faint smell of engine oil.
Drink? G&T? Whiskey and soda?
A bit early for me. Is tea okay?
Tea. Tea is very okay. I'll have a gin if you don't mind, and never too early, you know. Harry, cup of tea for our guest over here, and the usual for me, thank you.
So, it's my first visit here. Tell us what you've been up to.
Oh, certainly, certainly. As I'm sure you know, the motor industry is in a state of flux, to say the least.
It's all going electric.
Oh, it is, it is. The eternal combustion engine, it's rumoured, has had its day.
Eternal?
Sorry, internal. It's a departmental joke. We say eternal because it's been around for so long, over 100 years. But despite improvements which would amaze its pioneers, it is still very unclean and, of course, carbon-based. So the industry has concluded the only way is electric. And electric is nothing new. Electric cars were also made in the late 19th century, you know. And steam cars were made then too.
Steam cars?
Absolutely. But these days, electric cars seem to be the obvious way forward. It's a knee-jerk reaction to the carbon problem. And humanity, as we know, is a herd animal. So where one manufacturer led, the rest followed.
So, that's what you've done. Gone electric?
Well, no, it isn't.
I sort of thought not. What's wrong with electric cars?
Well, a few things. Firstly, they're too heavy. The batteries weigh a ton. So it takes more energy to propel the cars than the petrol-driven ones. Also, they create more potholes on the roads. They are very, very bad for the road surface.
Oh, are there more downsides?
Well, there's plenty. If you live in a detached house, charging your car will not be an issue. Suppose you live in a block of flats, though. What do you do then? Are we going to have every block festooned with wires from each one of the flats, down to the cars below on the street, like so many jungle creepers?
Well, there are those public recharging posts you see around.
There are, but not nearly enough. Suppose all cars were electric. There would be queues around the block for each charger. Or there would have to be a forest of chargers on every street corner. Same with those at garages. The whole system is sustainable at the moment because most cars are still petrol driven. When, or rather if, everyone goes electric, there will be mayhem, mark my word. There has been no planning at all, as usual.
So you are against electric cars?
No, not across the board. I am simply also saying that although they are undoubtedly cleaner than petrol cars, they are not carbon neutral. A large amount of energy is required to produce the batteries, and they also gobble up lithium, which is rare and expensive. Unless they find more deposits of the lithium, of course. I'm sure they're always looking for them.
So you're simply saying that no means of propulsion is going to be completely clean?
More or less, yes. Unless you can invent a perpetual motion engine. they've been after that for centuries, but nobody's ever found it.
What about the horse? That kept going for several centuries too. No exhaust there.
You had to feed them, graze them. And of course, they did have a kind of exhaust as well. And it piled up in cities, polluting the air and the streets.
I see. Of course. Very good for the roses, though.
So we did a bit of lateral thinking.
I know what you're going to say. I did a bit of research.
Really? Go on.
Hydrogen!
Well researched. Hydrogen engines are a strong contender. But there are still one or two problems there. They may well become viable. But in my opinion, if hydrogen does work, conventional electric vehicles will be seen as a kind of knee-jerk quick fix before the hydrogen takes off. But we have come up with something better, which may well eclipse even hydrogen.
Go on, I'm very intrigued.
Well, let me show you something. One of our prototypes. The one we started with when this was just an idea. Come on, follow me.
Professor C. Smith, Rafe, has brought me from the clubroom to a large garage space, a hangar almost. And here in front of us is, good heavens, I was going to say a car, but what a car! It's sort of long and flat with a kind of bubble where the driver must sit. Wait a minute. I think I recognise this. Either as a model car or a kit, or...
Yes. You've got it. It's an exact replica of the Railton Special, one of the early land speed record holders. It took the world land speed record in 1938, driven by John Cobb.
What a wonderful sight.
It is. The original is in a museum in Birmingham.
It looks like a rocket on wheels.
The current holder of the land speed record is a rocket on wheels. The Railton Special here harks back to when the record holder looked like a car. Would you like me to start her up?
Yes, please. The professor is lifting up the bubble and we can now look into the cockpit. Amazing collection of switches and dials, and he is pressing what must be the starter button.
Oh, it is.
What on earth is that?
It's clockwork.
What did you say?
Clockwork. Just a minute, will you?
Did you say clockwork?
Yes, I did.
That was a clockwork motor.
Yes, it was. Is. That is a clockwork car.
It's incredible. A clockwork car. How on earth did that happen? I mean, what made you think of that?
The clue is what you said earlier, that the Railton Special reminded you of models, of plastic kits, of toys, toy trains and so on. What did some of those run on? Clockwork.
I thought toy trains ran on electricity.
Well, they do now, but years ago, some of them ran on clockwork. But over the years, clockwork became outdated when electric train sets came along, and as a means of propulsion, it has been more or less abandoned. Even clocks run on batteries now, so clockwork has not been developed in the same way as other power sources have. Until now, until us.
How does clockwork work?
From a spring. You tighten up a spring, then as the spring uncoils, that gives you energy.
But that only gives you the energy to power a clock, or a toy, like you said.
Not since we started our work on it. For a start, the Railton Special here does not have just one spring.
How many does it have?
11,000. And they are big springs. And they are made out of a certain kind of metal.
What kind?
I'm afraid I can't tell you. Industrial secret. If that got out, we would be in trouble.
Wait a minute. How do you tighten the spring? The springs. Whatever it's made of.
You see that socket there?
The professor is pointing to a hole in the side of the car. Yes, I see it.
You push in this attachment, and by a system of gears, it tightens all the springs in a few minutes. All in one go. All 11,000.
And what is that powered by?
Electricity.
Aha! So it is electric.
Yes, but not in the same way as an electric car. Look, let's go back to the tower block scenario. You can charge this device up in your flat in about 5 minutes. You then take it down to your car, put it in the port, and it charges the springs, tightens the springs in another few minutes. Then take it back up. If you are worried about the car running down while you're on the road, you can take a charged up power device with you on your journey and use it again.
Amazing. And it works?
Well, I'll show you in a minute. The best thing is, no huge heavy battery to lug around. The car is much lighter and needs less power and does not chew up the roads. And there are no emissions whatsoever. None at all.
Incredible. All rather hard to believe.
Well, I thought you would say that. So, you are now going to witness a trial run.
So you haven't run it before?
Oh, yes, of course we have. We know it works. But this is the first trial run on the measured mile, like they used to do for the land speed record. The original Railton Special would have run the measured mile. And actually, this run we are about to do will be a record whatever the result, because it will be the first record for a clockwork car. The only record for a clockwork car. We call this one Railton 2.
And are you going to drive it?
No, I could do, but I want to observe from a distance. We are using a professional, a Maltese driver I met in Monaco, Marlene Testaferrata Inglot Mifsud. She is well known in the rallying world and is a horse breeder as well. Marlene, come over here, will you? A fellow from the podcast. Podcast, yes. Come to witness the run. Here we go. Podcast man, meet Marlene Testaferrata Inglot Mifsud.
A pleasure.
So you are going to drive the car for the measured mile?
I have that honour.
And have you driven it before?
A little. But this will really put her through her paces.
How does she handle?
Like a thoroughbred Arab stallion. Like a divine Monte Carlo billionaire.
Ah, well, good luck.
Come on, let's leave them to it. I will take you to a vantage point where we can see the whole thing. Let's go. Come on, follow me.
We have now driven up to South Mimms Crag, a rocky outcrop with a good view of the South Mimms Ring and also a view of a straight piece of track which branches off it. I assume that's the measured mile?
Well, it is.
What exactly is a measured mile?
Well, it's what it says on the tin, a straight piece of flat track, a mile long, which you can use to measure the exact speed of the car in question. Bluebird, the Railton Special, the original one, all of them set their records on the measured mile. Not this one, obviously. So the idea today is to see what a clockwork car can do. And it's the only land speed prototype. Whatever speed it does will be the new clockwork land speed record. Even if it's only 10 miles an hour.
So, we are part of history.
Indeed we are.
And now I can see Railton 2 moving into position at the start of the measured mile. Marlene Testaferrata Inglot Mifsud is at the controls. She gives a cheery wave. I can see a few technicians milling around a small building, which must be where the recording gear is housed. Next to me, Rafe has taken out his stopwatch. Everyone has now assumed their places. And there is a silence, apart from the roar of the clockwork engine. And one of the technicians waves a flag and she's off! Railton 2 accelerates away and is already going incredibly fast! Very, very fast! We never expected this.
Nor did I.
This is quite extraordinary. Look at the speed of it. That's incredible. But now she's already slowing down. Well, she will run out of track. Was that a mile?
Yes, it was, believe it or not. Let's see, let's look at my stopwatch. I make it 245 miles an hour at the fastest point.
Clockwork? I still can't believe it.
Clockwork, yes. It all went like clockwork. I think this calls for champagne.
Professor C. Smith has a glass of champagne. So have I.
Yes, well, I'm very, very pleased.
Forgive me, I don't know much about cars. Just because you now hold the world clockwork land speed record doesn't mean you can drive the thing round the streets. Surely you need a more, well, a smaller car to compete with the electric ones?
Well, of course, of course. Ideas used in racing cars and land speed cars are often used in a scaled-down way in ordinary road cars. Clockwork is no exception. You see over there? Over there are two conventional cars with clockwork engines. You see? Do you see?
I mistook those for the mechanics cars.
No, no, they are prototypes of the production car. For the street, not for speed. We don't really know how fast they can go. There's no real need at this stage.
Why don't we find out?
Ah, and here is Marlene Testaferrato in Glock Mifsod, looking very cheerful. Bit like a test pilot after a successful flight.
Come on, Smithers, let's have a race. To see what the production cars can do. Everyone is here, the weather is good, the South Mims ring awaits. We will just do a couple of circuits and the podcast can witness it.
Oh, all right then. I half guessed you would want to do that. They are both wound up and ready to go. It might be a laugh.
Come on, it's your podcast. I will drive you to the circuit and then you can be our first audience.
Okay. I can't see any harm in that. Now, there is a red car and a blue car. They both look the same.
They are both the same model. Different colours. The choice is yours. Which one would you like me to drive?
Let's do the red one. The colour of Ferrari.
Okay. Pleased to get inside.
And here I am in my first clockwork car. And I must say, it looks like any other car.
You were expecting a big key in the dashboard.
Well, yes, I suppose so. I was, in a way.
The controls are a little different to what you are used to, but not much. No time to go into them now. The engine sounds a little different, though. See?
Extraordinary.
And off we go!
And indeed, off we go. This is quite a privilege, and it's just like any other production car. It's true. Smooth ride, and we are leaving the workshop and following the slip road up to the track. Professor C. Smith is behind us in the blue car.
Okay, here we are at the track. Here is where you can get out, unless you would like to join me in the race.
No. That's fine. I would much rather be a spectator, especially as the cars haven't been tested yet.
A trifle. They have test run in the garage. Nothing can possibly go wrong.
All right then, we're ready, are we? We're ready. You can wave us off if you would like.
Okay. I've never started a car race before. All I can think of is sports day at school. On your marks, get set, go! And they're off, kicking up a cloud of dust as they go. They both had a good start, and as they go round the first bend, they are neck and neck. Both drivers seem to know what they're doing, and of course they are veterans of the world's racing circuit. If the clockwork cars perform as well in the real world as they're doing on this circuit, then I think both the electric and hydrogen car industries are going to have a major rethink. I can hear the engines in the distance getting nearer and nearer, and they should be in sight for the completion of the first lap, and yet here they come, still neck and neck, and they are approaching. And they are past both waving as they go, and they're nearing the first bend again, and wait, the blue car has just inched ahead of the red one, and I think his front wheel has clipped the red one. Oh no, I think he's spun out of control. Here I am back again after the crash on the South Mims ring. I'm glad to say that although both cars were a write-off, neither driver was killed. Marlene walked away and Professor C. Smith is in South Mims General Hospital. He says he is not in any danger and it was all down to just high spirits. He asked us to release the podcast anyway to inform the motoring world of the revolution to come. And not just the motoring world. He can see a time, not that far away, when there will be clockwork ships and maybe clockwork planes. Don't forget, you heard it here first.